shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that you've given us revelation, Lord, insight by the Spirit, the conduit of the Word to know the truth about your most holy, gracious presence where Elohim himself has come down. and that same one, Lord, you who manifested your divine self and your pertinent qualities of shepherd, provider, savior, healer, all those things in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not failed to keep them in our midst, Lord, by reason of your Spirit, you yourself doing amongst us and now at the end time, fulfilling your word that you gave to Isaiah in chapter 42 concerning coming to the Gentiles as the end time light and bringing your little bride unto victory. We're very grateful, Lord, that you're doing that. You're putting all things under the feet of Jesus, your Lamb, your only begotten Son. At the same time, Lord, we know that through that all things would be put under our feet with him, and especially, Lord, knowing the true divine blessings have started and will never end, coming in further manifestation, grace and glory, and magnification of all things, Lord, where we not only are known of you, but know you and have this wonderful relationship that our hearts cry for. We thank you, Lord, that it's in progress now, and we believe what was declared unto us by vindication, that we have been truly accepted in the beloved, just the same as Paul said to the Ephesian church. And now with your Spirit in our midst, Lord, we know that of the judge and the great discerner of hearts, been declared the righteous, sinless, perfect bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, completely exonerated, where Paul, knowing that, screamed out, "Who dares condemn me to death?" God says, "I'm righteous." And we stand in that same thing this morning, Lord. Help us never to forget that. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we constantly study, and we are studying number 12 now, and only still about page 8 or 9 in that particular area, we want to remember that there is actually a great twofold principle we keep in mind concerning this hour in which we live. Number one is the presentation of Elohim himself and the ministry of the Son of Man, wherein God, through a prophet of the end time, manifests the same ministry that he did to Israel in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, now to the Gentiles. And in the process of judgment, they are taken on to victory, where that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now you notice that Paul the Apostle then comes on the scene, and to him is given the revelation to the Gentiles, which was spoken of many years ago, wherein the Israel knew that Abraham was the father of many nations, and the Gentiles would also trust. And Paul brings the word to the Gentiles. So now we have actually the complete ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in the Gospels and handed on to us at this end time in the form of the Holy Spirit, vindicating God to the people and the prophet to the people. So now we have the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul, which is Elohim himself, which was in the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in the form of the Holy Spirit, which he always has been and always will be, has come down to the end time to reveal the actual truth of that word, which Paul set forth, but it was not revealed at that hour, at least in the intensity that and purity in the sense of a definitive description as it is now, because it couldn't be. For instance, we know that John was withheld from saying certain things that he saw, even as a scribe. That had to be revealed at the end time, and we know only a prophet would be able to do that. So we have here then at all times, we have Brother Branham going back to the Gospels, as he does in Matthew 13 in this parable of the sower and the seed. And then at the same time, we find him going into the literally the book of Galatians. And so we'll try to bring that in this morning if I can remember. But I want to take my preamble and then we'll move into Brother Branham's message. Now, before we begin to read again on page 9, we may possibly go to page 10. Let us refresh our minds that Brother Branham stands with the words of Jesus in parable form, wherein Jesus actually is telling the Jews that there are two seeds from two sources that make up the so-called human race. Now, Jesus definitely says that one part of that race is of God and the other part of the devil. One group is comprised of God's own children and the other comprised of the enemies or the devil's children. Now, that's statement of fact in the Bible. Whether anybody wants to believe it, can really receive it, on the basis that this is not something that is merely a parable, that it is merely an illustration, but a reality, an actual reality. It's very difficult for people to receive that. Now, one group is comprised of God's own children, the other comprised of the enemies or the devil's children in this human race. Now, Paul expresses it perfectly in Romans 9, where we find foreknowledge and election and predestination separate the two groups of one flesh, which is called one lump of clay. And only God knows his children, because according to the flesh, they are all exactly alike. You cannot tell them apart, any way, shape, and form, whether you go to fruitage, whether you go to gifts, whether you go to dress. In fact, there are those who I claim invented God. They have a black hat, and they have black suits, and they are replication of part of the Roman Catholic doctrine of separation of clergy by dress. Except they forget many things. And you will find that they can have more appropriate dress than perhaps anybody when it comes to covering up. But of course, that same dress covers up all their sin too, because it's a lot like Salvation Army uniforms take the place of water baptism, which of course is completely unscriptural. It's strange that those people believe they're truly born again when they haven't even fulfilled the first part of the Word of God. Now they say, I've repented, but were you baptized? And then your repentance is no good. So what about the thief on the cross? That's a different story entirely. That's where you have not even the foundation is laid from AD 36 and a half or 37 to AD 53. When that platform was built, and Paul went on to lay the foundation on that to the Jewish, to the Gentiles. So, all right, Paul explains that. And again, we find Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 telling us that we are simply all natural born flesh, but one day the children of God will be immortal and become glorified flesh. They either die and are raised in the resurrection, or the some few are changed standing here. Brother Branham then follows on what Jesus left off. In a measure, he left this off. For whereas Jesus at this time never said point blank that he headed up the God seed, the good seed, and Judas headed up the bad seed, because it's only just before the time of the Lord's Supper and just before crucifixion, he said, one of you is the devil, is Diabolus, and Satan entered into him. So that Judas could say, he that has seen me has seen the devil. And he that will see the Antichrist at the end time will see the devil. There's no two ways about it. You just have to understand these things take place. So, Jesus never said he headed up the good seed. the seed of God, and Judas headed up the bad seed, the seed of the devil. But Brother Branham could and did, because God came and indwelt Jesus, and the devil came and indwelt Judas, and we have the record of it. So the statement is 100% with the Scripture. Now, and since this parable, though spoken in the Alpha, must come to pass fully in the Omega, the harvest of today, we find Brother Branham speaking to the seed, speaking to the seed of discrepancy, about the seed of discrepancy, and warning them to make sure they do not act like the Jews and turn down truth by refusing to consider or examine themselves, as Paul said, whether they be in the faith truly, and truly the planting of God and not the planting of Satan. Now, just hold it. If you cannot accept something that gives your mind and your heart the definitive twist, such as if you would step on a certain button under a rug and bam, the door opens. And there you see either a skeleton dangling or you see a living person. Now, how would you like to be confronted by a vindicated man of Paul's stature as he confronted the Corinthians in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians and said, examine yourself. How many of you, without this message sneaking up on you, so that you had an inkling, and beyond an inkling, you had an understanding that let you know that you were on safe grounds to take a peek? Or would you be like the Reverend Paul Jones, tongue in cheek, when he went to Ned Iverson and Ned had challenged him on a certain doctrine? And he did not come, and Ned said, Brother Paul, why did you not come? He said, the answer is simple. One of us is serpent seed, and I don't want to find out who it is. Now, you're looking at 20th century reality, and I'm quoting the two names, and I will stand for this. I've got Ned's phone number. If you want to phone him, you can phone him. He's in Augusta, Georgia. You can find out if I'm quoting him. I don't want to find out. If you think the Jews wanted to find out, you are grossly mistaken. And if you think the 20th century Gentiles are any different, you are again grossly mistaken. Jesus correctly quoted, said, and quoted by John, even though there was a blood sacrifice, and condemnation can and is removed by the blood, the condemnation still remains because men refuse to bring their deeds to the light, lest they find them evil. They will not, they cannot, come to the place where, look, my pain is so bad, rip my arm off and beat me with the stump. I want to get rid of this pain. They can't take it. They don't want to find out. This is why the major doctrine that Brother Branham preached, not specifically under the seven seals, but augmented under the seven seals, which is sovereignty, foreknowledge, election, and predestination, was so hated and turned down. So that the Pentecostals today are nothing but Roman Catholics who repudiated Saint so-called Augustine, who foreran Calvin. And the Catholic Church says something on this wise: if any man says that he was surely foreknown, elected, and predestinated, let him be cursed, because the Catholic Church says so, because the Catholic Church will not look at the Bible. but neither will the Protestants. They have no more protest than a cream puff. Now, since this parable, though spoken in the Alpha, must come to pass full in the Omega today, we find Brother Branham speaking to the seed of discrepancy. All about the seed of discrepancy, and they had to be sitting there. Make no mistake about it. And warning them to make sure they do not act like the Jews, or they do not follow the Jews, emulate them. Take on their same pattern, spirituality so-called, but examine themselves if they are truly in the faith. And truly the planting of God and not the planting of Satan, which plants of Satan will soon be uprooted and destroyed, as it says in Malachi, leaving neither root nor branch. Now I'm going to take you back again to page 8, paragraph 34, for perhaps the last time, but not at this minute. I do this to show you what seed really is, what always was and will be, and it can't be changed. For Brother Branham said we are a part of God. Since this is so, where did Jesus, the only begotten Son, come in? He was also a part of God. So in paragraph 37, and we know that Jesus was the Word. Now, Brother Branham has categorically said, previous to this, if you make Jesus the Word, you have three gods. So he's now speaking in a sense that he was not speaking of at that particular time, because he also said the light that came forth, the Son, was the Logos. That's why I say the word Logos is overrated and over misunderstood amongst the people. Because it is a word that means positively whatever you are speaking about as coming into expression must contain the very thing itself. So when you speak of Logos, and you are speaking of God, because the word Logos is not Theo, which is God. That's why I use the word theology, theologos, which is the word about God, and my, how they've corrupted it. So he says here, we know that Jesus was the Word, St. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that has to be true, because when the light formed, there was nothing to form from but God. So this is the offspring of God who came forth from God with the special designation who was in and is in the bosom of the Father, which means the harbor, which has a special care and entitlement that no one else has, though the other sons share. Any more then Jesus himself had omniscience, omnipotence, and sovereignty. He never had it. Right today he's waiting for God, who is his Father, to tell him when he can come down and meet us. And we meet the Lord in the air. So he says, in the beginning was the Word is with God, and the Word was God. Now watch, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt here among us. The Word was made flesh and dwelt here among us. Then the Word is a seed. Now watch. Don't get your manifestations mixed up. The Word was already there in that form of manifestation, which was manifesting God. Even to the extent that God by Christ Jesus created all things and maintains it. Yet God is creator. And Jesus, of course, you might call the agent of creation. I don't like that because Jehovah's Witnesses call it that. That he was the first creation, then others came on. That is not true. Jesus was not created, he was born. And when God was creating himself in the form of human flesh, It went way back there in that first son. Where Brother Branham was later able to say, God, the first man, Jesus, the second Adam, the third, which is correct, because we were in Jesus before the foundation of the world. Every generation of God had been placed in Him. And if you see, if you, and generations have been successive for 6,000 years. And if you weren't destined to come forth in the specific generation as a seed, you are not a child of God. But who is willing to face it? Who can, under the duress of pride, women who believe they're preachers and they cannot sell God out because they know that God called them. I know that God didn't. I don't care what they say. No problem. It's not just a little fly that stinks in the ointment. This is the horse and the shrew. Now, paragraph 37 again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt here amongst us. Now, how is flesh produced? It's produced by a seed, right? Sperm on. Now, therefore, the Word is sperm on. Because the Word became flesh. And you cannot produce flesh outside of sperm. You've got to have the genetic pattern of life that by chemistry, foreordained by God, working through human vessels, brings forth children. It'll bring forth a child unto God, it'll bring forth a child unto Satan, and they can be from the same male and the same female and be twins. As Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, let's just see that this is 100% beautifully correct. Because everything he said was correct. And we can take everything to the Word. And we can see that Paul said it before William Branham said it. But we can see that William Branham explained as a prophet teacher, because there ain't no such thing as a prophet of being a teacher at the end time. This man, William Branham, is not the foreteller, he's the forth teller. And the foretelling in Maine was to establish him as that vindicated prophet. And any foretelling that came later was minimal. Actually, who needs it? I'm glad we got it. But if you got the foretelling, the revelation, and you brought your deeds to the light, and they are not evil, you're a child of God. You don't have to worry. You looked in the mirror, and you won't forget whose child you are. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 tells us here very, very plainly. Paul speaking in verse 37. And that which thou sowest, human sperm, thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a bare grain. Now the word grain is kernel or seed. So we can change it right here. So Scripture runs in greater continuity. Thou sowest not that body that shall be, but a little seed. Why, it may be a wheat seed. Some other seed. Oats, rye, barley, corn. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him. And the divine pleasure of God was to give this son a body. Lord, a body hast thou prepared for me. And the pleasure of God, according to Isaiah 53, was consummated. In other words, the full desire of God was consummated when Jesus, that Word, that light, became flesh. Now, this becoming is no great process to be looked at as though you think that you are doing something you shouldn't do, because Brother Branham vindicated by God. Never mind the Seventh-day Adventists teach this. I have no trouble what she taught or he taught or anybody taught. William Branham came behind and corrected the errors, and he did not destroy the truth because somebody else said it. When I confronted Brother Branham concerning the Irvingites, where this woman was speaking in tongues in a dark room lying prostrate on the floor, and she mentioned the fact of the rapture coming and so on, and I was deriding it, Brother Branham said, "I don't care who did it, how it was done, it's the truth." You got people try to come around and say Lee Dale preaching the presence wrong because the Russellites preached it, because somebody else preached it. Bless God, Brother Branham said it. My ministry is to declare that He is here. That was the message of His presence. They couldn't take that. You think they could swallow the judge? They don't dare look in this Word. You know I dare look in this Word? I learned I had to face it sometime. Why not now? Why not now? Now, but God giveth it a body as it has pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. So therefore, you and I back there, even bypassing the Word or Spirit body, we're meant to be Word because we are a part of that Word. So that God Himself is seed, original seed, and all the rest of the seed was in it. As Brother Branham said, that little orange seed that you planted contained every orange that would ever grow on that tree. And I'm adding, if it grew 1 million oranges a year for 1 million years, it was already in there. So God disseminating Himself started with that sun way back there. This is why Brother Branham always said, spoken word is original seed. That's why always word is seed. Word is seed because it is true. We are born from seed. And if the Word became seed, then it became a sperm. And the egg was there, created by God to match it, and brought forth that body as it pleased God. He gave it that body, according to the life that was there, which was the life of God. Now you bring that down to the place where you begin to see out of one lump. Brother Branham could well say, the virgin birth is nothing in difficulty compared to an ordinary human birth right now of a son and a daughter of God. And you can understand that when the male ejaculate contains millions of sperm, and the woman's ovaries produce at least 200,000 ova, and they can't count the little hairs behind it, which means one woman could produce millions. You talk about a computer mind of God. I've used that term just only to let you know that God's the great computer, and then He sends around one of these little chips that just go 2 times 2 is 3.9999999999999 or something to let me know that God is no computer chip. I use the expression only. Infinite. Every flea. How many times he'd bat his eye? How many to make a pound of tallow? Grain is a kernel of seed or a seed, or simply seed. Now reading John chapter 1, as did Brother Branham, we see God Himself can literally be called seed. Because that's all Jesus was. They said, Brother Branham, what is the difference between Jesus and God? He said, no difference except one had a beginning. In other words, one from the stream of eternity. That portion being eternal with a greater portion. Simply broke forth from the stream. And he said, this day have I begotten thee, you're my son, and I've placed in you all my generations. And that is true. Wasn't Jesus there when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness? Weren't we all therefore in him when God breathed into Adam the breath of lives and he became a living soul, showing that your soul comes from God? That soul is the gene or a part of God. And in there is the genetic blueprint that was to bring forth every single one in the image of Adam, even as Eve was. Although his brother Branham said, not in the original creation. Don't worry, she had the Adamic life that came from God. What else could she have? Or Abel would have been a hybrid. And Seth would have been a hybrid. We're not hybrids. Our flesh may be, but the soul isn't. The soul is pure, genetic, material from God, which is God himself. Because it's sperm. That's why you're born again of the seed, which is the Word, which is life coming upon life in the form that God has ordained that life come, and I read it to you. It was already there in the seed, and God gave it the body that God wanted. That's a cute little thing. Makes me wonder why some of us are like our noses bobbed when God gave us our noses. You say, well, maybe the serpent had a hand in that by messing us up. I wouldn't give him any glory at all, that rascal, any more than the Pope. Thus God was sowing himself, and that's right. What does a male do? He sows himself. He certainly doesn't sow his neighbor. At the same time, he's sowing his grandfather, great-great-grandfather, he's sowing all the way back to Adam, and all the way back to the serpent. Isaac didn't know that he was going to have a bummer, as you might say, in Esau. Thus God was sowing himself, and if he is the Word, and the Word became flesh, as according to what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 37-39, and you know that's simply a logical statement of nature, God revealed to nature, that the Word is a seed, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, who are also seed or Word, God coming to Word seed children. And that's what God has done at the last time. He's come to the Word seed children. He came unto his own back there in Israel, and they were after the flesh. But when you get down here in the Gentiles, it is not after the flesh. We do not have that genealogy. Our genealogy is the genealogy of God. We don't go by mother, father, sister, brother. He's not working by physics and genetics and biology. Gene splinting, splicing. Either you are a seed or you are not. These are the children of God and of the kingdom, not serpent seed. Thus there is a seed of God. And I would consider that all Bible believers do receive this, but they can't explain it. They will admit that it is there. And in the condition of admitting that it is there, they simply believe it. They will not take it out of the Bible. But it's only in a very half-hearted, misunderstood way. But when it comes to serpent seed, or discrepancy, which means not original, and of a different source, they rebel, and can't believe that serpent seed is a seed, now listen carefully, is a seed apart from that original sin that they nail on to Adam and Eve, cannot believe for 1 minute that serpent life was so close to human life that it was able to breed and bring forth a body. And so close that that body could go on reproducing a serpent life, which when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, voluptuous, beautiful women, that's where you get the thought of the Amazon and women warriors. You know, every macho male wants to get with those voluptuous women. Oh, yeah. Sex will get you somewhere. Sure will. Always back to the original. They looked at those women and they wanted them. When you consider a man after God's own heart, David, knowing he couldn't want his neighbor's wife, he couldn't commit adultery, he couldn't kill, but he did. See, these people cannot accept that there was an actual intrusion. And for us to believe it's the same as saying that a great big 4-ton beast like an elephant attacked Eve and raped her. They won't even read the Bible. This was a smooth creature. I never seen a snake with hair on it yet. The word smooth means subtle. He could speak, he could reason. And the serpent was already quoting the Apostle Paul. Oh, I admit that God said this and this is true and that is true, but I'm going to show a more excellent way unto you. Now, Paul wasn't deriding what God said. He was telling the truth. I'm going to show you a better way. But Satan was lying. That's over in 1 Corinthians 13. Satan lied. He showed her the way of spiritual filth as well as physical. Because without the spiritual filth of adding, not just adding to the word, that's not the thing. It is where you change the word of Almighty God. I got a quote on that here. Where Brother Branham said concerning the Catholic Church, they added a pope, they added a bishop, they added this, that, the other. They took away the real meaning of Peter. See, they were adding. Again down here, Brother Branham said they left the Word of God entirely except for names and titles that God had and a few scriptural principles. They twisted what they did take out of the Bible by changing its meaning. That one word not merely shows you that if you use the right word, you can literally destroy the contents of the entire Bible. One word. One word changed the contents of the entire Bible. It's the changing of the meaning. As Brother Branham said, I dare not illustrate unless I'm careful, lest I change the meaning. I don't think you found that on a computer, but absolutely he said it. I got a pretty good memory. I may be 80 years of age, but I'll challenge most of you here whether my memory is good or yours or not. I even go into history, and I'm a little bit tongue-in-cheek when I say that, but I was good at history. I could write 100%. That's what most people couldn't do. All right. These people cannot believe that serpent seed is distinct and apart from Adam and Eve who sinned, and thereby you have a people who continuously rejecting God, sin away whatever they ever had from God. And these people who believe that cannot believe the truth of the sovereignty of God, whereby God has his own children, as a pig has pigs, and a dog has dogs, and a horse has horses. But God cannot have God's children. Oh, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, God forbid.
If God can't have God's children, then a horse can't have horses. A pig can't have pig. Because God made the horses and the pigs.
Fool. Sin did not change the seed. Indeed, seed itself, apart and distant from flesh, cannot sin. And this is proven by the fact that Seth, from the genealogy of Jesus, from both the mother's and father's side, which were surrogate parents, you might say, go right back in Luke and in Matthew. One takes you back to Abraham, and if you get as far as Abraham, you get back to Adam. But in one genealogy it says Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. And Adam was made in God's image, and Seth came forth in Adam's image. So therefore here was an image of God, separated from God by one generation only. I don't care if we've been separated from God by a million generations. We're either of God, the seed of God, a child of God, or forget Him. Because not only does your Bible say so, but William Branham, vindicated prophet of God, said so. And that takes care of it. Indeed, seed itself apart and distant from the flesh cannot sin. And Brother Branham tells you we were put here in the flesh in order to be tempted. And all of us fell. But as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive, with the declaration you didn't even do it in the first place, little bride, sinless and righteous. You were tricked into it. The philosophy, that is the doctrine behind it, is what Irenaeus said, that Brother Branham quoted so many times. When I gave him that book of Irenaeus, God being a Savior, it was necessary that God predestinate a sinner in order to give Himself, God, a reason and purpose of being. God being a healer, it was necessary that God predestinate a man who was sick in order to give Himself reason and purpose of being. God being a supplier, it was necessary to predestinate a man who needs supplies. God being also a shepherd, it was necessary He predestinated sheep like people everywhere down the line. And people don't like that. It's because they say, well, I wish I weren't so dependent. I wish I weren't so far removed. Hogwash! This is the connection between us and God, that He is those things. Oh, God, have pity. Don't you see these people are cutting their throats with no light? There's no insight whatsoever. See, they won't bring it to the light. Now, it is flesh that is tempted, Brother Branham said. Put you in flesh to be tested, and it is the flesh that sins. And that flesh sinning, the Word of God distinctly says, he that suffers in the flesh will cease from sin. So it's linked up to the flesh. Now, we can see this in James, the first chapter. And in verses 13 to 18 it says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. No, he doesn't. He lays it before you and says, make a choice. But not evil now. No, no. And you know you got the soul from God if you make the choice in this hour toward vindication. And I still want to know why people come to me after hearing years and years of preaching and say, Brother Bale, it's only after the first time I heard one of your tapes that it caught on. I want to ask a question. What are these guys preaching? I'm not trying to boast about myself, but I am following what the prophet said to follow. And I get kicked in the teeth for it. Well, it's not bad because the uppers are gone anyway. I can buy new ones. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, just like Eve. But when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, just a minute here. Let's get this flat. That body that you're talking about, that James is talking about,
due to the overpowering of senses of which we got five that contribute our reasoning, our delights, and everything else, our understanding, we already hear in the flesh. And if it weren't for that flesh, that man in there wouldn't be sinning. So he tells you, hey, watch the flesh, the world, the flesh, the devil. He's warning you, and he tells you, do not err, my beloved brethren. It says right here, it's going to bring forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Now, he's not pronouncing judgment upon people. He's telling you how it came. Eve was tempted in the flesh. Now, does Eve go to hell? By no means, no. Does Adam go? By no means, no. Only the serpent seed end up there. There's no way God can condemn his own life to hell. As Brother Branham said, one day you're going to find you always were saved. Now let's find out if this is the truth. We go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 9, and it tells you, whosoever is born of God cannot commit sin. Now they're trying to tell you that's born again. That isn't true. The issuing forth is what he's talking about. And if you have that seed that came from God by natural election, as Brother Branham called it, the same as Jesus had a natural election. It's right in the Scripture. That seed cannot sin. There's no way it'll sin. It can't do it. Eve was tricked. She was fooled. She was seduced. It was the devil and that serpent that lied and did it. She was in the entrapment. She said, I was seduced. Now, do you think that God went to the serpent and said, now, what's your side of the story? He knew what happened. He just got a confession out of Adam and Eve. He went right to the serpent and said, now, because of this, you watch what happens to you, boy. And every one of your kind. Leaving neither root nor branch. How could you even qualify a foolish virgin in that? You can't do it. See, that whatsoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. And yet you can be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you will still sin. That's why you have an intercessor. Brother Branham said, you backslide 1,000 times a day. Only William Branham brought us the truth of this. I don't care what book you read. I've read my books in my day. Forget it. I'm not interested. The seed is the Word and is in him. And can't sin by changing a word or adding, or subtracting, or doing anything about it, but leaving it exactly as it is, and for God to interpret his own word by manifesting it. The serpent changed the word. See, that's what you're looking at. Thus there is always the evidence of the child being of God based on the word of the hour within the hour. This generation misses the new, the last, the seventh seal, thundered message, now unsealed and unthundered. Living on the old message, proving what seed they are. They're eating hybridized food because they're hybridized, they like it. Now here, from this point, we can go on to page 10 and paragraph 50. And it backs up what we said. They won't come to the truth. The bridegroom message. The Branham message. The word of God for the hour. They follow the old pattern of the past history of the seven ages. Because remember, under the seventh age is the Pentecostal doctrine and dogma. wherein both the Trinitarians and the oneness turn from God. And they take the arm of Mr. World, meaning at least they're one word off. It means their doctrine is corrupt. Yet the Branhamites are turning over 90% to being Jesus only. And the Jesus only are priding themselves that Brother Branham didn't have to correct him. Then Brother Branham lied. And the Holy Ghost lied. How can you believe that? This church, by the grace of God, stands corrected. We believe in one God who had only one begotten Son from the beginning, in whom He started His generations. And at the end of time, after the white throne and the dissolution of all the universes, and we have new universes and new heavens and a new earth, and we have the new Jerusalem, at the top of Mount Zion will be the Lamb, a man, on the throne, and the pillar of fire, which entered him at the River Jordan, and enters him again at the wedding supper. Leaves him and stands above him. And at that time, before they call, he answers. In other words, Jesus has assumed a higher and greater position, evidently, than intercessor. I tell you, brother, sister, you may not know this, but I tell you what Brother Branham told a certain man. And he said, "Hit, listen to me. Right now, you're here and I'm up here." He said, "When I'm gone, you will come up here." I believe that time is happening right now, as never before. Because I believe today we can constantly think in the reality of the corrected and true revelation. And our thinking is no longer in the realms of constantly comparing with the old. As though we needed to deliver ourselves. We are delivered. The bread wagon is here. And we're feasting no longer on the hidden manna. It's fully exposed. And Brother Branham said the substance is very, very clear. All right, now, where in the world am I? Paragraph 50. Are we this far over? Page 10. Now we find today that this discrepancy has been sown throughout every age. If it was possible to get it in the next 10 or 15 minutes, I would do it, but you can't. Down through the ages. In other words, he would go back and show you the trail of the serpent. down through the ages, most all of us have read the Bible. And now, like when Jesus came and he found that discrepancy, that which was contrary, not the original, added to or taken from, complete miscue, he was the Word made manifest. He was God's interpretation of the Word. Because he said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." Judas just thought that he thought Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. He was a dual. He was a fence sitter. Let's see way this, which way this is going to go. It wasn't live, die, sink, or swim, but he died. He committed suicide like they're doing today. They're crucifying to themselves the Son of God, which means they're putting their own selves on the cross and dying. When you crucify yourself, it means you're the one that gets the nails. It means you get the brunt of it. You got a hard time coming. See, there they that testify of me. There you are. He was the interpretation. How? By manifestation, the fulfillment of the Word. At every born-again son and daughter of God of this age is the interpretation of the Word. Now, let's understand this. He's not talking only about sons and daughters of God. He's talking also about the discrepancy. That are there, those seeds of discrepancy, the discrepant ones. And he's just using this phrase here, I guess maybe to palliate the others and make them feel a little better.
But keep in mind, he's talking to two groups of people. And the serpent seed is mentioned all the way through the Bible, just the same as the sons of God. And he said, the daughters of God, sons of daughter of God, of this age is the interpretation of the word. All right? The never-changing word of God is what the challenge is that we believe. Because we cannot be the true sons and daughters of God that are born again, full of the Holy Ghost, and are the interpretation of the Word of God or the manifestation, the fullness of God, the written epistles that are read, on the basis of either gifts or fruit or dress. What do you got left? How you talk. That's all you got left. That's all you have left. Do you have the real revelation or do you not? Because you can have all the gifts in the lexicon and go to hell. Being condemned, I never knew you. You were not in my foreknowledge. It was written of you. But you were not a child of mine by foreknowledge. You were not elected. You were not predestinated to this. You broke into this. Now go to the place prepared to heaven's angels. What about fruit? By your fruits you shall know them. That's the preceding discourse. And he said, beware of false prophets who come to you looking exactly, acting exactly like a true prophet. But he's the sneaking lizard that came behind the true prophet and brought a word like the serpent did to take them off of the word. Now, if you look like a sheep, you better stinking well believe, and I'm using that term, and I could use tougher, rottener terms, and really blast it. You had better believe that that's not a lie. They acted like sheep. They knew how to bad in the right place. They ain't made in the right place. Hallelujah, Jesus in the right place, and everything else. They could quote you scripture. And they had gifts and signs and wonders. And they were genuine. Took them right off the word. I want to ask you a question. How are you living epistles? Because you are that word and you believe that word, and epistles are letters which mean communication. Now, I can't communicate gifts because that's out. But they're good. Hallelujah. Thank God if we got it. I cannot communicate by my life. Though it might be perfect, and I have all love and beauty and sweetness and kindness, and I'm moderate. Oh, my, I'm a wonderful fellow. Brother Brandon said, Christian signs have put us to shame 100% with their love. So what have you got? You got the word. Now, from then on, you don't go bluey and act as though you belong to the devil. You snitch, steal, do everything. Paul said, him the stole, don't steal anymore. You commit adultery, don't do it anymore. Bring your body under. But you are the communicators. I ask a question. What are you communicating with each other? Do you let people out in the street, if they talk to you, get by with your hogwash? Would you stand up with the word? I'm very bad because sometimes I get this pernicious kick out of gigging people, and I guess I got it by gigging you. I don't mean to, because very often do I gig anybody, really. But I should like to ask them some really good, tough questions. To find me some things that they quote as scripture, no more scripture than nothing. Especially, how can millions now living never dying when a rapture, when the Bible said eight souls made the ark, and that's the way it's going to be at the end time.
You see, they want their cake and eat it, and they've changed every single thing. You see, it can't be fruit, it can't be gifts. For these are in the discrepant ones. But notice, the discrepant ones, what is their picture? Now, William Branham quotes Paul. Let me quote Jesus. Now, quoting Jesus doesn't destroy Paul. No. It makes it all the much better. We go to John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. 47. He that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not a God. If they can be perfect sheep, full of gifts, the razor blade difference, brother, sister, is the word, which is a two-edged sword, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, making everything naked before God. And when that happens, it's face to face. 1 Corinthians 13, and it's all over because the last part has fallen into line. He was God's interpretation of the word. Now, let's just stop a minute and think. What if he'd have walked through the streets and said nothing? Who is that man? Well, by George, I tell you, I really believe now. Well, you know, I'm putting my neck on the line, but I think maybe he's Isaiah come back. I think Jeremiah. Nah, it's closer home than that. I think it's John the Baptist come back from the dead. My God, they'd have to bleed in transmigration of spirits. Could John point it out, Jesus? Well, couldn't be Elijah. No. It couldn't be. So now Jesus opens his mouth and he communicates. He's the living epistle. Now you can't be an epistle if you can't be read. And Jesus could not be read. Who is he? Well, said Nicodemus, I can lay it all on the line, my bottom dollar. Absolutely, he's of God, because nobody can do the works except to be a God. And he said, I'll go right unto Jesus. And he said, sir, I believe you're a teacher sent from God, because nobody can do the works that you do except to be sent of God. God doing the works in and through him like a prophet. And I just have that feeling that you're a God. And Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. All right, what have I got into now? I give this fellow here credit that he must be a God. He's a teacher sent from God. And now he's giving me this stuff here. How? He said, how in the world can a man be born again? I can't enter my mother's womb a second time. And Jesus said, the Spirit breatheth where he willeth. And you can't tell where he comes from or where he's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And he told Nicodemus, look, don't try to figure me. You're not going to do it by figuring. You're going to do it by believing. It's the only way you can do it. And it goes on to John 3:16, how that there's no condemnation, and yet there is, because men don't bring their deeds to the light. Do you think the Pentecostals brought their deeds to the light? Did Junior Jackson put a room in his church? And those people like Miss Organ Bright and the other fellow, what was his name? I can see a picture in my mind here. He's dead now. I'm pretty sure they're all dead except Junior. Soon as Brother Branham wanted the church in order and the gifts in order, my God, what an opportunity they missed. And he would go in with them. No, they went off. And the tabernacle began calling him dead birds, and Brother Branham rebuked him. And I think he realized that most of the people there in the tabernacle that stayed were dead birds with them. They didn't understand him either. Nobody had here. They listened to Brother Branham year after year, and I'm the guy that wrote the book, Come In and Study. Picked up the white throne judgment right now. the foolish virgin, wrote it all out like Brother Branham wanted.
Says, Brother Branham, Brother Vail, you wrote what you didn't say, but Brother Vail wrote exactly what Brother Branham said.
Because that isn't Lee Vail's doctrine. I didn't believe. Not that I was against William Branham, but I didn't believe it because I wasn't taught it. I just couldn't figure it.
When Thus Saith the Lord came along and I knew this man was invincible, that he was incredible in the sense of the veracity of every single jot and tittle, that this was Thus Saith the Lord, the servant of God, I said, hey, we got it made.
And I don't care what I don't believe today and don't understand. It doesn't matter a thing to me if I run across it here, say it's in here because he said it. And we keep on finding it, and I trusted the glory of God in our edification. See, now you are written epistles. You are words of communication to all men. That's why at the end time in Malachi, God's listening how we talk to each other.
Years ago when I was well, and Jim Pitts was one of my biggest bugbears, he'd come by and keep number 2 and 3 in the morning talking the word. We could do it, couldn't we?
Enjoyed it.
Word, word, word. People get me on the phone. If they were smart, they'd make recordings. If I was smart, I'd have a recording myself. Because many times I speak by sheer inspiration, just the word comes just slashing in against the question. Trace it through the Bible. It's a little gift. People don't have to believe it. I don't give a rip. And the less that's believed, the better off. Because if you believed in Brother Branham's, you how many are going to believe in the little gift I got? Ha! A church this size, you sure got a lot on the ball to keep coming. I can say that. But I love you. And you make a good sounding board because I can talk to you. Now, we go to 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and we're going to close at this point here. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. And we come over here, and Paul said, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as you are manifestly declared. In other words, there is a complete definitive explanation and a leading forth by the word to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust we have through Christ to God. Now you say, Brother Vail, I really don't understand that. Well, I'm not going to stand and pretend that I can give you the exact clue on it, but I'm going to take you right back to the 8th chapter of John, and Paul is saying what Jesus could not say to those Jews. So let's read it again. John 8, verse 39, they answered and said, Abraham's our father. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father, that's Cain, and right back to the devil. And they said, we be not born of fornication. We're not serpent seed. We're not a Cain. They understood serpent seed. They still do. Oh, the stupid Gentiles that can't smarten them. See? He said, we be not born of fornication. Eve was in fornication. See, Adam had not got to her yet. We have one Father, even God. That's why John said, if you deny the Son, hey, there's no Father. You deny the Father, there's no sons. These guys were double-dealing, tongue-twisting hypocrites. They're like the legalists. If Levi'll spits on the floor, he's going plumb to hell. They can commit adultery every night for 10 days if they can stand it. Forgive me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hogwash. When you thoroughly repent and change, ask God to forgive you, then walk like a man instead of a skunk. So we're not born of fornication. We're of God. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. Now watch. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Now, does that sound like God talking about God? That's the Son of God talking about the Father.
Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, and the father a lie. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can pin me down on one word? Off. And one thing I haven't done to fulfill Scripture, brother, I'm using the two revelations here, one of the Greek and one from Brother Branham. He said, pin me down. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's word. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And Paul said, over here you're hearing God's word, therefore it's manifested you are the children of God. I don't believe I'm wrong on that. That's Lee Dale talking. I didn't hear Brother Branham say, but he used the Scripture, and I just wondered why he used it. That's what I see. See? Notice he said, in vain do they worship me, teaching discrepancy for doctrine. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine, discrepancy, the doctrine of men, the creeds of men, teaching that to be the Word of God, when it has nothing to do with the Word. All right, again we see 2 Corinthians. What has happened? It says here, but the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Their hearts have been thoroughly circumcised. They are thoroughly proving that they are of God. I want to ask you a question before we close. Go to the book of Galatians, where Paul starts out and he tells them, this is not my word, this is God's own word. I wasn't taught by man, I was taught by God. Jehovah himself came down and taught me. I want to tell you, Galatians, something. If you get circumcised, Christ avails you nothing. This was thus saith the Lord, vindicated by God to the Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul vindicated to the people, this was the word of God. Tell me then, why did Barnabas come against Paul and demand that Timothy, a Greek, be circumcised? Do you notice at the conference in Jerusalem, they stood with Barnabas for a little while till Paul got on their tails? And when Paul got finished, the apostles drew back and said, Paul, you are right. But Barnabas didn't. I'm asking you one question. Though Barnabas and Saul were separated by God, by the Holy Ghost, to do a work, can you believe this morning that that man was a child of God? I can't. I believe he was circumcised. Just the same as Jesus said, I've chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil. To me, Barnabas is a perfect picture of many people that worked with Brother Branham and said they believed him. Went right along and thought everything was just great, you know, catchatory, everything's just fine. But they weren't right. It was all wrong. Well, I better mark my place here. Put a little word called here. We'll see if we can get a preamble to catch us up. Remember, we are Hebrews 6. We are Hebrews 6. We sought, we believed the word. They sought, kept on with the vomit. Kept on with death. Entered the second death. By their own hands, self-crucifixion. Just like Judas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the time of fellowship we have around the Word, and praising you, Father, for everything that you give us concerning this Word, believing in our hearts that we are online, Father, with the Word, and hoping even that our spirits are correct, because we would not want to find ourselves, though correct in the Word because of the seed, but we ourselves a little jaundiced and hypocritical by using it as a club, which we don't intend to do. Rather, Lord, we know it's the sword, and we would have skillful hands by the grace of God to wield the sword to bring forth this word of righteousness to the people, that they may be clothed in righteousness, which is of you,
And Lord, we know it all started back with that word, and now it's coming into the full expansiveness of that part of yourself, that word that is for this hour and to continue. And so we can see that, as the Apostle Paul said, it's all of God. And William Branham could say, it's all of God. It's all Christ right standing there. To the extent that even Christ himself the seals. And so, Father, we are very, very happy with that, that we have what we have. And by your grace, Lord, and for your glory, I trust, Father, that bringing ourselves more and more into captivity and obedience to the word of faith we have, that we will never cease from manifesting the true fruit. And if there's true gifts, Lord, amongst us, that they may never cease. Maybe not those nine gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but certainly, Lord, in Romans 12. Even as Irenaeus said, there's hundreds of gifts in the bride of Christ. And, Lord, we would not confine ourselves to that which would be the spectacular. Rather, Lord, we would go to that which is the humble and the and administrative to the people. And if there is something, Father, in the other element, may we not turn it aside. I worry sometimes about that. And I pray, Lord, that as I've declared to the people, I've been bold enough to look at it. And I believe, Lord, with your help, I am bold enough to look at anything, but not to look at it as though I have an opinion, an authority that is right. I would have to find, Lord, from the prophet, much more than just a blanket statement. But if that is what is required, then, Lord, I would take that. But we would very humbly, Lord, and sincerely say that we do not want to miss anything whatsoever, or be pretentious or hypocritical or claim anything, Father. But what we see here based on this word, and what can we say, but it becomes clearer all the time in this particular area of the revelation, Father. And we know Brother Branham said the word corrects the word if there's an error there, and we're asking you, and any little mistake or anything we make, that we'll come right back and stand for the truth and say, hey, I didn't get this right, or this isn't right. And we know, Lord, that's not a hard thing to do when it comes to the pulpit here, because we want to be right. And anybody can be wrong. That's the easiest thing in the world. But as Brother Branham said, that God's word be true and every man's a lie. And we certainly admit to that, that we're in that particular area. Where we're wrong, we ask for really true forgiveness and revelation and help, Lord, to be the living epistles, that we have your communication lies within us and being dressed with the same word, Lord, until the bride is glorious within and without, the true assessment of God, which is his word, which has been vindicated. So we commend ourselves to you today. We pray you'll heal the sick amongst us, and any need that needs meeting, Lord, will be met. And help us now, Father, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To put on the whole armor of God, withstand the enemy, Lord, in the proper spirit, and just be what you want us to be. That's the main thing, Lord. I've prayed so many times we want to be what we think you want us to be, and that could be a rough situation. We ask you to help us, Lord, to get in the spirit, the very life that was in the word, the spirit that Brother Branham was in. Not a spirit of legalism, but a spirit of definitive, meticulous truth, showing that he wouldn't allow anything in his life to be there to surface. If it was wrong, he would make it right, covered by the blood, and stand against the error that he himself committed, expose it, and go on. What a marvelous soldier of the cross our brother was, and we would be glad to be a little bit like him. We commend ourselves to you now in the name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen.